Blog Talk Radio.
Bum ba da ba 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 bum. I don't have a theme song, but that'll have to do for now. Hi, I'm Mud Toe. This is my radio show, The Uncommon Shaman, so named by my brother David Two Crows, author of many books on spirituality. I once called me the Uncommon Shaman because I'm kind of dark and cynical, but you can see we're trying to fight that tendency with a little bit of exciting music there at the beginning of the show. This is the third Friday of the month, meaning that it's Shaman Tarot Day, and I'm looking at my tarot spread, which I had started last week, and I've noticed something very interesting. I think I did note it actually on the show last week, was that this layout has many cards in common with the last layout I did on opportunity in the new job that I had started some months ago. In fact, I am seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 5, maybe 6 cards that I am, 5 that I'm quite certain were in that spread, and 1 that I believe was as well. So, how does this happen? Because I shuffled the cards well, I assure you. I think what happened was, everything that's come up, well, let me step back. Last week I talked about a sort of relationship question that I had had an opportunity to pursue a relationship with a friend, a female friend of mine. I wasn't sure that I should for a number of reasons, one of which was that I felt I needed to devote more energy to recovery. I didn't feel like I'm strong enough emotionally to be able to start giving emotionally to another person. And then I suggested that perhaps I could do the Shaman Tarot this week on that topic, and I selected the 8 cards from my layout, and I believe I noted at that time, boy, I'm seeing a lot of familiar-looking cards, and they seem like the one I did last month. And I think the reason for that may be that all I seem to want to talk about this week are things about my job, which relates more to that that earlier reading. So maybe that's why these same cards have popped up again, because you know that's where the energy was heading. That's what I was going to be doing was going to be maybe bitching about my job. So the same cards have showed up for the party. Let me tell you, I will limit this this discussion because I don't want this to turn into a mud to a wine fest. But it's a resurgence of some of the same concerns I'd had about this job, mainly about the on-call aspect. As I have an event coming up tomorrow that I very much want to attend. It's my father's birthday, my father's 79th birthday. I have to go out of town for it. I have a manager out of town, which leaves me and another manager to cover the two houses for the weekend. We felt 2 or 3 days ago, I'll say 3 days ago, everything looked pretty good. In that time, as far as, you know, having enough staff to make sure the house is covered. Now, if there's, you know, emergencies can happen any time, and that would be something, you know, if there's an emergency, I'm just going to have to drop everything and go. I don't particularly like that. I've had to do it a couple of times already. But, you know, at the same time, I understand, you know, the need for it is, you know, in a medical emergency to have, you know, someone from management there. So, anyway, as I said, probably almost, let's say Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday, things were looking pretty good. Then we had someone from the office who was going to be coming down and covering, you know, a shift each weekend day, and he pulled out at the last minute. Then we had one of our new hires quit, didn't make it through 1 week, so that left us short. And my manager, I have one manager who's on vacation. My second manager is working a shift, worked a shift today, is going to be working a shift tomorrow. I worked a shift on Monday, and I worked a half a shift last night, and I worked a couple of hours today. I've been told to expect to work a full shift on Sunday because it's not filled right now, and my manager is doing one tomorrow. So, you know, I would, in fairness, I would take the one on Sunday. Working, fighting like hard to keep tomorrow open because that's my dad's birthday party. Well, we had one of our staff at one of the houses got sick today, and that's why I had to step in for her. And now the question becomes, is she going to come in tomorrow or not? First of all, should she come in? Because if she's sick, she might not really ought to be around, you know, the clients. She does have a clearance from her doctor to work if she is feeling better. In any case, she shouldn't, you know, like, handle their food or anything like that. Part of me wants to just say, you know, just forget about it. You forget the whole thing. Accept the fact that you're going to have to stay here tomorrow and orchestrate this, you know, this coverage. But, no, I mean, family's more important. I've always maintained that. Yeah, family and friends are what's important. My job is what I do to make a living. And when my job takes over or tries to take over, I need to walk away. I'm feeling very strongly, this is what I was talking about last time I spoke about this subject. It seems kind of stupid to just walk to work for 3 months and then walk away, but if my core values are being compromised, what other choice do I have? I wouldn't want to walk away without something else to go to, but I think I very strongly think that's the direction in which I'm moving. As I've been told, I end up working, you know, when having the 1 day weekend, which happens a lot. End up working one day or the other because we don't have, you know, people go through the training and then come in and they don't stick. And it's worse at one house than at the other. But then we're down a manager and more and more I feel like this is not what I want to be doing. And I had a similar situation. This has been, oh gosh, how long ago? It was the year of 9/11, so 15 years ago. Was my I had a factory, and it was a supervisory position where I had some people and had to make sure all the shifts were filled and all that. And there was some amount of infighting going on about getting the shifts that were desired and so forth. And I was like, I didn't like that part of it. I mean, it was difficult for me because I enjoyed everything else I was doing in that job, and I enjoy everything else I'm doing in this job I have now. But I say it's the on-call portion of it, and really that's the bulk of what the on-call has been, is getting these calls saying, I need you to come in. And I just wonder if they're really working as hard as they possibly could to get somebody to come in, as opposed to just saying, oh, well, we'll let the manager, because we know the manager will come in and take the shift. Maybe there needs to be some sort of standoff, like on this, like tomorrow said, no, there's no possible way I can come in. You guys are going to have to work it out. Now, that also means I could be sitting there in front of my supervisor on Monday saying, why did you let this or that or the other happen? You know, and, you know, if that were to, I don't fear being in front of my supervisor. And I don't fear being fired because I know I'll survive. I'm doing the best that I possibly can, and I'm also, you know, maintaining that border, that distinction between my occupation and myself. And it's 100% necessary that I do that. My feeling is, because I have a friend of mine who works at I always call it a phone board. That's not what it is. A call center, that's what I call it. And, you know, they tell you they have ads up, you could be working tomorrow. My feeling is I would despise working at a call center. But I would know when I was working. I would know what my hours were. I would know when I was working. And I would know what the goal was. I'd know what the target was. I think that's why so many people like me end up in call centers. Because you can hit the target and go home and then pay attention to what's important, which is your real life, not your work life. And I have some friends who would say that just means you haven't found what it is that you're meant to be doing. And yeah, you're probably right. Probably right about that. But let's, since I promised Charmantaro, let's have a look at some of these cards. Here's my favorite guy, and I know he appeared the last time I did a spread. And I've also, by the way, I've done it in the sort of double hoop spread that I've talked about in the past. There's an inner circle, four positions, west door, north door, east door, south door. And then there's an outer hoop around it. So you've got two nested rings in the the medicine wheel kind of fashion. The first card goes at the inside east door, west door. Then you go north, east, and south, and then you start on the outside, starting at the west door. So the west door is the buffalo, and this guy here in this card, it's the king of drums, and he's got it's a gentleman with a buffalo's head, and he's smoking a pipe. And he is comfortably seated in what appears to be his tent. And there are pictograms on the wall behind him. So maybe he's in a cave. Yeah, I think that surrounding is kind of cavey. And there's like tree roots above him. So he's underground in a cave. And he's chilling. He's just chilling out. And I'll see what we have under the... The King of Drums is the spirit of Father Buffalo, a man who can be trusted, loyalty and trust, patience, reinforcement, slowness, reluctance to change opinion, which is sort of exactly the opposite of what I've been talking about, isn't it? And the position is the west door is the Sikh's council door, which is, I guess, what I'm kind of asking. I mean, is this the time I need to fly and talk to friends about other things to do? I mean, my plan has been to, at first I had said 5 years, and then I shortened it to 3 years. Because honestly, I don't see myself doing this until I retire, being on this 24/7 on-call business. So I'd give it 3 years and see where I'm at then. And then it doesn't look so silly that I just ran away from the job. I gave it some time, and I decided it wasn't for me. So is that Mr. Buffalo here? Is that his message for me? Is that what I need to be thinking more in terms of than just going flying away to a job I know I'm going to hate? I don't know. It seems like my time, I've lived over half of my life, and I don't care for these infringements, these impingements is a better word, these impingements on my time. That you give yourself to someone so you can make a living, and their expectation is that you belong to them. That there is no... Well, see, again, as I say these things, this is an assumption that I've made. I have not been in the situation where facing my employer, facing my manager, and having him tell me that I did the wrong thing. I sort of had that happen, but not really. There was a question as to approving the last vacation that one of my managers had. And my boss asked me had I approved it, and I didn't know what that meant. I mean, I knew that they were going on vacation. I knew that I had signed a piece of paper saying, for a payroll to say, this person is taking vacation on these days. I didn't know if that constituted approving it or whether there was some other process that took place that I was unaware of because, I have only been here for a short time. So I said, no, I hadn't approved it, and then a bunch of people got all up in arms. Turned out I had approved it, I just didn't know it. I mean, I knew she was going. I had signed the paper. I had signed the paper I needed to sign that constituted approval. I just didn't realize that that's what had happened. So now I know. But again, there wasn't any trouble over it. I spoke out of inexperience. And I think my boss then took that and kind of ran with it and said some things to people that turned out not to be, I want to say not to be true. That's not how I mean it. I mean, he acted on my false information that I hadn't realized was false. but everything came out all right. Sometimes that's not a full-fledged. What I'm saying is that's not a full-fledged. Well, why did you go? Why did you leave town on Saturday when you knew that these bad things could happen? I don't know. So I could just leave it for the other manager to handle, but she worked a shift today and is going to work a shift tomorrow. Which is why I feel obviously if there were, if there's something did come open. I mean, you're only, we get paid when we work floor shifts, but we only for up to 16 hours. After that, we have to do it on comp time, which means we have to get an approval from our manager. She would have to get approval from me to, you know, to disappear for a day or two. And, you know, that's often difficult to arrange. So I got into talking about my job again, didn't I? I very cleverly deflected my conversation back to the job. I don't think, well, see, this is the one I'm uncertain of. This is number 11 from the Major Arcana. It's a not happy-looking lady sitting in the crux of a tree with some masks at her feet and some rather ugly-looking birds above her. And this is she's on the in the outside hoop in the east position. Let's see. Well, first of all, let's find her here. The Major Arcana is the extra suit that was added by the various European influences on the tarot when the tarot first started to be used for occult purposes, for fortune telling. Number 11 is punishment. Eternal law above human law, new karmic balance, harmonization, perfectionism. Interesting. Eternal law above human law. New karmic balance, harmonization, perfectionism. I like that. Interesting is new karmic balance, but then the other part of it is eternal law above human law, things that are always right and always wrong. And that's in the seas far position, the east door. So, you know, looking out into sometimes that's interpreted as the future. Looking ahead on the path. We're seeing a law, eternal law above human law, and the sort of bringing into balance, but also a reference to, you know, wanting things to be perfect. So the cards are not telling me what I want to hear. They usually don't, and that kind of ticks me off. Because what did I do? What did I bring you here for, cards? I brought you here to tell me that I was right to do what I want to do. And you're kind of, it looks like you're telling me, no, stay put. Make it work. Let's see what, I like this guy up here. He's also on the outer ring at the Heavenly Beings and Spirits position, the North Door. And it's a young boy riding a red snake, and this is the Prince of Bones, so it's another Bones card. Bones, then bones, dry bones. Okay, find this again. I guess this tiny little book came with this. If I was any kind of real fortune teller, I'd have memorized these by now, right? Well, we got a knave and a knight. Let's go with knight, ally of the clouds. This is bones, right? Yep. That doesn't look right. The queen is spirit of mother snake. That looks like, that looks like a horse to me, that little symbol. But this, I mean, snake, the ally of the clouds is about something else. It has to be the queen. Spirit of Mother Snake, a person who never forgets insults, obstinacy that brings success. Oh, that pisses me off. Don't you have done that? Somebody who's just, you keep thinking, boy, that's just not going to serve them well. And then they end up having all the success. Boy, that ticks me off. Okay. So obstinance, I don't know. That can't be a queen symbol. It looks like a little horsey. supposed to be a knight or a knave, but it's an image of a snake. What have they done to me? Let's check. What am I doing here? I'm under 10 minutes now. There's another siren. I've got another thing. I'm getting up for you. Let's go to my plan, and if we have time, I'll do another card. I want to get up very early in the morning because they're doing work on our street. And, you know, we're allowed to park in the evening, but starting at 7 a.m. we have to get out of the way. Now, I don't seriously expect they're actually going to do work on a Saturday, but I'm going to get out of the way anyway because I fear being towed. I've been towed twice before and had to go down to, you know, with nobody here to really take me, had to go down on the bus and go get my car out of the impound and pay them. I think last time was close to $300 to get it out of there. So I'm going to get up early. I'm going to get out of that parking spot by 7 in the morning, and I'm going to go to my house, and I'm going to find out what needs to be done to make sure all the shifts are covered. And then I will go to my father's birthday party. And I affirm that I possess the skills and knowledge required to make certain that happens. So that's my affirmation, is that I will be able to do, I have the information, and I have the tools, and I have the talent to make this happen, and that I can then enjoy the afternoon with my father and my other relations. So all my relations will be there, not all of them, but many of my relations will be there. All of my relations there in spirit, I'm sure. And they'll be all around me. Those who have already passed on will be all around me, helping me tomorrow, I'm quite sure. So that's where we are in that. There's a fly on the floor a couple feet away from me in some sort of death struggle. I'm kind of distracted watching him, trying to figure out what he was, because I found, I was going to mention this. I have, maybe he's here to remind me. I have, in my bedroom, I have a lamp. It stands about 5 feet tall, and it's got one of those inverted bowls at the top. So you can, it sort of covers, it doesn't have a shade. It has an inverted bowl, and it's open at the top. Well, and then inside of it is a screen because, you know, bugs tend to like to fly into it. Well, I turned it on tonight, and as I was getting the room ready to be Mud Toe Studios for the night, I was getting this funny burning odor. And I'm like looking around, is my computer on fire? Is the motor in my fan, you know, burning up? What is it? Well, it was like four or five flies that had landed in that bowl, getting wonderfully fried by the light bulb, which burns very hot. So maybe this dude here is an escapee from that. He got out, but he's still pretty hot. I mean, pretty burned. Maybe burned. I don't know. How do you tell if a fly is burned? I don't see any smoke coming off him or anything. But he's definitely in a bad way right now, struggling. And hopefully, I haven't. You know, I've been changing my garbage out every day, but I know there's a dumpster not too far. Not too far, probably about 50 feet away from the outside of the apartment building, of course. But it's only probably about 50 feet away. So I'm sure the flies find their way here. I'm gonna pick this one here. I am comfortably certain that this was not in my. This is the Seven of Bows. And there's a female figure flying over a street, a modern street. And it's all in yellows. Well, maybe I have seen this. It's all done in yellows and oranges, so it looks like fire, but it's really plants, you know, trees and bushes and such, but it's all done in yellows and oranges, so it looks kind of like fire. And let's see what the book says about the Seven of Bows. Bows. The Seven of Bows. Bows, which are the voyage, it says. Astral voyage. Astute strategies that sometimes turn against you. Avoid conflict. Indecision that leads to a loss of energy. So indecision. Avoid indecision. And that sits in the, again, on the outer ring in the looks within position. So looking within. and thinking about conflict, avoiding conflict. It's the Bose 7, yeah. Astute strategies that sometimes turn against you. Avoid conflict, indecision that leads to a loss of energy. So this is how I should approach what I'm doing tomorrow. I get there. You know, take care of the problem, but avoid conflict. Because that's what happens when I'm sitting in my car, you know, having these conversations. It seems like, I don't know whether it's the neighborhood or just the mood I'm in, just the fact, well, driving affects me in this way. It affects me in a very negative way. I'd say whatever serenity that I have acquired during my life is totally lost when I drive. And so I start imagining myself screaming at these staff people and, you know, threatening, we'll get new staff in here. No, no, no. That's always what you think. But then someone leaves, there's at least a 3-week cycle. I mean, if you hire somebody new tomorrow, it's at least 3 weeks before they're available. And guess who gets to work those shifts while they're gone? So we're just trying to keep the ship afloat, trying to keep everything moving forward, looking to a better day when it's more favorable position where we don't have just, you know, we have just barely the number of staff we have to keep things going and no more. When we can get to a place where we actually feel comfortable that someone could jump in. You know, our other houses in other parts of the city are in the same position, if not worse. It's just, it's not a very desirable job. It's not a job a lot of people want to do. And frankly, the pay is not that great. Now, there's efforts afoot to change that. But right now, we have to deal with what we got. So I think, what am I looking at? I can't see my clock from here. I'm under 3 minutes now. Let's pick one more. Let's do one more interesting card. Here's this one. I know we had this one last time. This is the Five of Stones, and I think this is a gentleman, and he's got a bunch of people in the palm of his hand. There's like three of them that kind of look like zombies, and one of them who's trapped in a crystal, and he or she, maybe that is a she, kind of hard to tell. But this is in the inside hoop. Sees far position, so it's along with that with the lady and her masks and things. So it's two rather antagonistic looking women here. Let's see if we can find Five of Stones. Drums are the dance, bows are the voyage, bones are combat, and stones are healing. And this is the Five of Stones. Loss of the soul, I can believe that. Which phantom has abducted our most authentic soul? Expectations of success, ? Illusions and false objectives, ? A new vision of things is possible. Well, shit. Certainly, I didn't get what I had hoped for. I'd hoped to say, "Yeah, go for it, get the hell out of there. They'll, you don't need them." Well, it seems to be telling me, "Hang in." Then maybe that is the best thing to do. So I'm running out of time. I have to get to sleep because I'm getting up at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning to get out to my house and fix things up, and then, as I have affirmed, we'll go share some time with my father on his special day. So thank you so much for listening, and I will be back with some more stuff for you. And until then, I wish you a pleasant good evening.